Hello, and welcome back to the Fuck It All podcast. Before we get started with the one and only queen of manifestation, keep listening for more on that, I have to give a plug to our Maven course. Okay, so last month, Katie and I launched our first ever Maven course. If you don't know Maven, it is the number one platform for course creators. And at first, we wanted to be all eye roll, that's not us. But then, in talking to hundreds of women on and off this show about what the hell does it mean to have it all, navigating fuck it all moments, and ultimately getting the life you want, we had so much research we could not sit on it ourselves. So, getting it all for ambitious women, a transformative workshop for the women building a life they don't need to or want to escape from, is available today. The cost, $1,050, but because we love you, FIA audience, if you are a podcast listener and use the code FIA, you get $200 off. So today, head over to itallmedia.co/maven or maven.com/it-all-media/ambitious-women. I know the URL is absurd. We'll take it up with Maven on a later date. To get $200 off, use the code FIA, especially for podcast listeners. Without further ado, keep listening to the one, the only, Jen Mazur, Queen of Manifestation. Hello, and welcome to the Fuck It All podcast for modern women redefining it all. My name is Casey Light Gordon. There's every once in a while I have total fangirl moments. Today we're having one. Our guest, Jen Mazur, the Queen of Manifestation. Jen, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm psyched to be here.
Some context for our listeners. I want to give Jen's quick bio to make you all just, you know, sit down, buckle up, and create space for this conversation. Jen is a sought-after transformational speaker and coach. She teaches people how to manifest their biggest dreams while making an impact on the world. She is known for her signature Manifestation Masters program and private success coaching. Jen is the author of Manifesting Made Easy, co-founder of the board game Sparked, and today is the guest on the Fuck It All podcast. Small, you know, little asterisk to that. I have Jen's book. I've been doing some of her work. And Katie and I just signed on to work with Jen. So this is such an exciting conversation for us to talk about the work you're doing to help women step into their power to attract and manifest the life of their dreams. And I love that you have purpose in there too, because so often I think manifestation, it's like, you know, make money, get wealth, blah, 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 but it doesn't center on the purpose. And that has been, I think, what stood out for me in just reading about you, listening to you on other podcasts. Like, that was the hook, because, you know, it's not about like get rich quick. That's not the goal. It's to do the best work of your life and attract and manifest all the good that comes with it.
100%. Yeah. And it goes back to how manifesting works in the first place, right? It's like, we're really kind of receiving the vision for our lives and we get to live that out. So it's about being happy and fulfilled, right? And doing the things that matter. And when we are all doing that, that's how we're going to change the world, because we're living to our fullest capacity and not telling ourselves all the excuses as to why we can't do those things that we really want to be doing.
I've never been called the queen of anything, maybe the queen of being late. Tell me how you became the queen of manifestation. I'm basically taking notes on how I can update my title.
So I actually, my friends gave me that nickname. I did not name myself. So I was always the friend in my group who, every time we got together, I had another outrageous story of something that I manifested. And the reason, I think, at the time that they nicknamed me Queen of Manifestation was because I manifested living rent-free in Manhattan for over 10 years in my own apartment that I renovated with the jacuzzi. We did my kitchen. We had a theater downstairs. We converted one of the apartments into a 40-seat theater. And every Christmas, the jazz musician Wynton Marsalis would play a private concert for us. We recorded the album, like a live concert album, in 2004 and put out a record with Blue Note. And it was nominated for a Grammy. So, I mean, I have so many stories. I traveled around the world, manifested my soulmate, you know, had my artwork shown in the New York Times, New York Magazine, people who I used to admire, spiritual leaders or filmmakers. I started becoming friends with them or hanging out with them or at these events with Deepak Chopra or a private cocktail party with Martin Scorsese. And so people just started asking me, like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
And what came naturally to me, I was able to start kind of teaching other people how to do it for themselves. And then it evolved into all the amazing things that I do now with my clients. And so, yeah.
Okay. So, well, one, amazing. I just looked at the clock. It's 11:11, and that's our lucky number here at It All. So that this is meant to be, the synchronicities. I hear you say that. I'm like, Jen, this is amazing. Oh my God. Like, how do you get all this? And then the first thing that comes in my mind is, well, Jen must be lucky, unique. She must be this unicorn. Like, oh, it's who she knows. Like, I, you know, the talk track starts. And I think that this is human nature, but it's certainly with women. It's like, that's not me though.
Right.
And to that voice and to those people listening that say like, mm-hmm, whatever, Jen, what do you say to them?
Let's just play, right? So my whole philosophy is we are playing. When we're too serious about it, when we need it too much, it's like that's when we get frustrated that we don't have what we want.
Mm-hmm.
When we come from a playful place of like, well, why? Let's just see. Let's play full on, right? We're all manifestors, whether we realize it or not. So it's how are we talking to ourselves? I'm not this special person. You know, and I have proof now because I've been teaching and doing this for over 11 years, like, and crazy, amazing stories from my clients and what they've manifested. It's that we all have this ability if we can just tap into it and we understand how it works. And it's easy. My whole thing, my book called Manifesting Made Easy, is that it doesn't need to be hard, but it might feel uncomfortable at first. It can be easy and uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's not hard, right? So it's reframing discomfort as a good thing because it means we're about to experience something new. Because the truth is, everything around us in our lives right now, at some level, even if we say we're not satisfied and we want more, we're comfortable with it because it's what we know. So anything new that we are creating and wanting to experience, just by nature of it being new, is going to feel uncomfortable at first. So it's always wanting to stretch outside our comfort zones because that means we're experiencing something new. And the truth is, for most of us, whatever our big dream is, a lot of times we kind of know what to do, but we're just afraid of doing it. And it's the mental space that it takes up before we actually take that action that is like holding us back. But the reality is the action probably only takes like 5 minutes. It's like making a phone call or like sending an email, right? Or telling someone, you know, what you really want, but we're scared. So it's like, actually, it really wasn't hard. It just was uncomfortable.
I think that the idea of easy and uncomfortable and that those can coexist because, you know, so much – so the manifesting, call it more spiritual, intuitive piece, I feel like this is my perception of it. And I think it's true of a lot of people, especially those that live in Western societies, is that's for like an enlightened few. It's either a position of privilege, like, oh, you don't have to worry, so now you can go do it. It is a position of – oh, you're cool with just being like poor and living in a monastery or something. You know, like there's like a whole, like there's all of these narratives. And something that it's continued to come up for me, we talk about it a lot here on the show, is that we are told that in order for things to be good from a very young age, you have to work hard. And this idea of hard, if it's difficult, that means you're pushing yourself, right? And I really like this concept of discomfort doesn't have to be hard. Like, I think that we so often, in an oversimplification, just bucket these words, and language is so powerful, and how we talk to ourselves, how we talk to others. So I really like this decoupling of it, and to say that easy and uncomfortable can coexist and that they are actually really good. I'm curious for you, like there are times that I can sit in that playfulness. And then, like you said, there becomes like the needing it, and you start feeling like a little desperate for it. You start gripping it. And I can notice when things start feeling hard. What are some of the tactics or, you know, things that you, when you recognize it, it's human nature that we get there, but what is the practice of releasing that and letting go of the hard or the difficult in that way?
Let's go back to how manifesting works in the first place, because this will help you reframe
Love.
Those moments, right?
Perfect.
So when we have an idea for what we want, it's not just us having this crazy idea. When we use our imagination to kind of tune into our desires, our imagination is how we tap into our intuition. So we're all intuitive, right? We're all kind of receiving information all the time, just like Wi-Fi. There's signals coming to us. The universe is speaking to us all the time, our subconscious mind, whatever we want to call it, right? And so if we can just kind of open up and hear the message, it's speaking to us through our imagination. So it's giving ourselves permission to dream, permission to imagine what we want for ourselves. And that's honestly how most people stop themselves, is not even allowing themselves to imagine in the first place, or they have an idea and they discount it right away. Like, that's too much, right? They feel guilty. I can't have that. Like, my life is okay now. Or I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough experience, X, Y, Z. And so then we don't even allow that dream to fully come in. We're like pushing it away, right? So if we can first just play with this idea that when we're imagining, we're actually intuiting what's going to happen. So it's not just you imagining like, oh, I want to be an author, but like, oh my God, I'm going to be an author. Wow. Right. It's like when you and Katie had the idea to do this podcast, it wasn't like, oh, that would be nice, but you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to have a podcast. We're going to have It All Media, you know, and it's like, oh, we're changing the narrative. And it becomes this whole bigger thing that you are excited about because you trust that it's happening. And so if you can actually trust that you're intuiting, you're more likely to take action on that idea. And you're not worried about if something doesn't go your way, or if you get a rejection, or you don't get the job that you wanted, or that one relationship didn't work out, right? Because you know that ultimately you are going to be in the perfect relationship because you saw it. You know that ultimately you are going to have that awesome job because you saw it. And as crazy as it sounds, I've done psychic training work, right? Where you take classes and play with this. And when you do a practice reading, you use your imagination to tune in. And so we all are intuitive. We all have this ability. There's nothing special about me. We're all walking around as energy towers, receiving information and giving off information. That's how that phrase high vibe became popular. High vibe attracts your tribe, or, you know, good vibe only, right? It's the law of vibration. And so we're all vibrating all the time. And the higher vibration, right, you're attracting things to you that are a match to that vibration. And vibe, it's that signal, right? We're receiving the signal. We're giving out good vibes that are attracting those awesome synchronicities or people who want to help us actually support us in manifesting our dreams. And in terms of vibration, it's movement. Vibration is movement. And so we want movement in our lives. When we don't have movement, there's something stuck. There is that stuck energy, whether it's in our bodies, we're physically holding on to limiting beliefs, or there's some sort of pain or tension or guilt, whatever. Yep. And so we want always movement. Emotions are meant to be felt. The root word of emotion is motion, which is movement. So it's not like, oh, I have to pretend to be positive all the time to manifest. Like, oh, how are you? Everything's great, when it's not great. Like, we can say how we're really feeling and be like, I'm fucking pissed off or whatever. And that's okay. We want to let it out so that it can move. So it's not that the, you know, manifestation master is like so special, nothing bad ever happens. It's more that we're just, we allow ourselves to process our emotions so that we can come back into the positive the fastest. We can pivot and find the good. And there's so much more I can say about this, but the reason I brought up vibration and imagination and intuition is that if we can trust that our dreams are really meant for us, that they're actually going to happen, right? It's so different. There's no such thing as trying in manifesting. You either are or you aren't. So you expect that it's all going to work out. Even if other people around you think you're crazy, you have that belief in yourself, so that whenever that obstacle shows up, which they will, they always will. It's a part of the process. So it's not like, oh, this is a sign that I'm not, it's not meant to be. I think I'll just give up, right? It's more like, oh, what's the opportunity here, right? Maybe it's not going to happen this way. It's going to happen another way. And there's some beautiful lesson in this, you know, crazy shit that I'm experiencing right now. And I'm excited to find it, right? And it means that, you know, something that's an even better match is coming. And so I can let this go. I don't have to be attached. I know that I'm okay always.
Oh my God. There's so many things here. Okay. So the first I want to talk about, I'm going to break this up into a couple of segments. The first is there's a couple of words that you said that I think represent the duality and complexity and nuance of modern womanhood. The first is intuition, intuit. Women's intuition, a woman's intuition. We've heard that, right? Like that is a very common thing. And I think, you know, women naturally have this. This is something, and you do so much work with women. So I'm sure you are so aware of that. Or, you know, that's a part of your business. The second piece is this idea you said, like your dreams are not too much. And we talk to so many women who say like, I'm too much. I've been told I'm too sensitive. I'm too this. And so the idea that women are known for both of these things, like, oh, you can intuit it and we need you to dream big. Like you're amazing. You can bring life into whatever form in this world, but also don't be too much because that's uncomfortable. And I just think about like, I just want to like open the floor for that conversation around like how women sit with both of these. And it is our superpower, but why is it that then we get a negative reinforcing message that it's too much?
Honestly, when someone is saying that, it's more a reflection about that person than it is about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I think if we really look at it, like, whenever I see someone who is dreaming really big and going for it, I'm inspired by them, right? Mm-hmm. And we rise to meet the highest vibration in the room. And so instead of being jealous, like, look at that person, they have it all, and like, fuck them, you know, they, you know what I mean? Like, cause I deserve it. It's more about me not being satisfied with my own life that I'm jealous, and less about that person, right? It's because there's something in me that's like, and that goes back to the intuiting thing. There's something in me when you find yourself jealous or thinking that that's too much, it's because I know I'm meant for more and I'm not living it out. And there's something that is like, you know, a disconnect and I'm not fully satisfied. And so instead of looking at it that way, I think you can reframe your own jealousy as like, wow, there's a reason that the universe is bringing this to my attention in the first place, because it's meant for me too. Like that possibility exists for me and it's in my awareness. I'm noticing it because I'm meant to play more full out, whether it's that exact same thing, right? Or it's just a reminder of what I'm capable of, right? And so it's like, wow, there's, you know, I have a story. I went to India. I studied yoga. I lived in an ashram for a month. And there was a man who came and performed with a group of people, performed traditional Indian music that was so beautiful. And he was playing a concert a couple weeks later in another part of India. And I asked my friends at the ashram, does anybody want to come with me? Because I really wanted to go to this concert. Nobody wanted to come, but I wanted to go and experience this. So I went by myself. I took a train a couple hours, you know, go to this concert. And it turns out the musician that was performing, it was part of this international film festival because his guru, his teacher, who he was playing with, the santor, this amazing like harp instrument, someone had made a documentary about him. So it was part of this international film festival. I end up through, you know, the whole experience getting invited to the director of the film festival's home, right? And I'm sitting there with like the curator of MoMA and, you know, the people who are like winning awards at the festival. And it's like me in my like yoga outfit coming from the ashram. And I'm like, oh my God, who am I to be here with these amazing people? And they were like, Jen, oh my God, tell us about the ashram, right? Like how cool that you just were doing, you know, yoga and living there. So again, it's like that, those experiences, like you're meant to be wherever you are. No one's better than you. Your vibe attracts those people for a reason. And if something is even in your awareness, whether you're in physical presence with those people or you turn on the TV or the podcast and you're listening to this thing and you're like, oh, that's so synchronistic because you were meant to listen to that, right? There's no mistakes in the universe. And there's some reason why we're all being drawn to each other, right? And so there's nothing, there's no such thing as too much, right? You're receiving everything that you're meant to receive because our dreams are the universe's dreams for us. we get to live them out. We get to be the physical arms of the universe. And you know, because in the spiritual world, everything is fine all the time, right? It's like a big high. It's love. So why are we here? I think to experience that on a physical level, to manifest the most amazing, outrageous lives we can possibly dream up, and to have fun, right? And play full out. So I think it's remembering that and really, you know, owning and receiving. We're all great manifestors. I think for most of us, especially women, we have a problem receiving, right? We close off.
Yep.
And so I think of it as a flower, like blossoming. It's like, how can I continue to open up? Like, how am I as a receiver? Like when someone compliments me, do I shove it off? And I'm like, oh yeah, this thing, I bought it on sale. Or am I like, thank you very much. You know, like, I love that you love my shirt or whatever, you know, am I really taking it all in? Am I appreciating everything that I have? And it goes back to gratitude, which is such a simple practice. Everybody talks about it, but it's the practice of it. It's the lens through which we see our lives. And, you know, my friend Lynn Twist has an expression, what you appreciate appreciates, right? So the more that we're grateful for what we already have, the more comes in to be grateful for. And it's the practice of that, even in the obstacle, even in those hard times. That's when you want to practice gratitude the most, is when you're having those moments of like, what the fuck? It's like, okay, how can I get back into the present? Because if I'm having a freak out moment, it's because I'm either worried about the past or I'm worried about the future. Right? But if I can get back into the present, I know everything is okay in this moment. I'm okay. What's okay right now, right? I'm physically okay, whatever. You know, I have this and this. And if I can expand my gratitude and get back into the present, then I can continue. I can keep moving forward in whatever I'm manifesting, because all of manifesting happens in the present. It's being grateful for what I have and excited about what I'm creating also next in the future.
I feel like you're taking me to church in the best way. Okay. So a couple of things that I just want to, you know, to kind of play back here is, one, this idea of the practice. So when we started the podcast, we talked about this fuck it all moment. It's a really, it's a choice. It's this very critical moment for so many of us where we either listen, really it's listening to yourself, whether you're intuiting that or just knowing how to receive. We have episode on that around asking for support and then receiving it. It's a two-part process that, to your point, women, we just naturally are not inclined to do. And so you have to really build that muscle. But what we've talked about over time and in talking to so many women is that a moment becomes a mindset. And a fuck it all mindset is one where you continue to tune into yourself. It doesn't get easier. May the fuck it all moment evolve, right? And I think you and I and Katie talked about this, is like, it used to be, oh my God, I'm going to wear pants to work. And now it's like, I'm going to quit my job and go start my own company. Like, may the moment continue to evolve. However, it is always a practice. Like, our ability, and as we begin to want bigger things, a bigger life, live in our fullest expression, something that kept coming up as you were talking is like, take up the space that you take up. We have a friend of ours and she always says, be as big as you are. And I think about you going to that concert in India, sitting in the director's, you know, home, and you very well could make yourself small. You could be like, oh my God, nobody cares. But you chose to take up the space and they wanted you to take up that space. And that just is something that in any moment that you are, whether it's in, you know, you're sitting in gratitude, it's like, take that up because you are worthy of it. You own that and it is yours. And so whether you, in accepting it and receiving it, you begin to open that up.
Yes. Knowing you're worthy. I remember when I was at the private cocktail party with Martin Scorsese, that's a whole other story, but I remember getting introduced to Martin Scorsese and all these people and Albert Maysles, and who's since passed, who I love. And being introduced to everybody, it was the first time someone had introduced me as Jen Mazur, like my full name, right? This is Jen Mazur. And I was like, you know, because I wasn't the queen of manifestation then. This was like part of, you know, and I was like, wow, like, I'm somebody, right? Like, look at how I'm important. And this person is introducing me like my full name, right? And I think that just having that validation from somebody, whoever it is in your life, like when you have believing eyes reflecting your dream back to you and saying, yes, it is possible, versus so many you know, people in our lives, society is telling us, no, you can't do that, right? And so it's hard, because even if we have that faith in ourselves, there's so many opportunities that people knock it down, you know, yeah. and say, that's crazy. Like, you can never do that, a woman or whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important to surround yourself with positive people who are really, you know, again, going to continue to shine a light and say, yes, you can. Yes. I mean, and that's the difference, again, with having that dream in the first place and trusting it versus like, that would be crazy. You brought up so many ideas when you were talking. First of all, asking for what you want. When you mm-hmm. ask someone for help, that's the law of reciprocity in action. Ask and you shall receive. But it's law of reciprocity is giving someone the opportunity to give. Because when you give, like, we know as women or as moms, like, it feels so good to do something for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like overgiving and we're just like not taking care of ourselves. I'm talking about when you do a favor for someone because you really want to help them, right? You know you can. When a friend asks you for something, you're like, yeah, sure. Like, I can do that for you or whatever it is. It feels so good. So let's come back to the flip side. When you ask, you're giving someone the opportunity to feel good because it feels good to help, right? And yeah. so let's not be afraid of asking, right? Let's allow someone the opportunity to give and to feel good yeah. about it and not feel guilty about it. Like, and you know, I see this in business especially. Like, when I was creating my board game, Sparked, with my friend Lisa, we started sharing the idea. We got on the phone with like the founder of Pictionary and, you know, like all these people yeah. just wanted to talk to us, like, and help us and give us advice based on, you know, their own experiences, just out of the goodness of their hearts. They weren't like asking to get paid. You know, I'm doing something now, a project with my love, and we're on the phone with people like helping him who, like, again, totally just out of the goodness of their heart because they believe in what we're doing and what we're creating. And that goes back to vibe as well. Like, yeah. again, there's no such thing as trying. And so like when you're at a party and you introduce yourself, like you meet someone for the first time, if I'm meeting you, Casey, and you're like, well, you know, I'm just trying to start this podcast. I don't really know what we're about. You know, like, I think it's going to be this and this. I'm like, great. Nice to meet you, Casey. Like, move on. Versus right. like, we've got, you know, fuck it all. And this is, you know, the moment and this is our mission, this is what we're about. I'm like, God, yes. Like, I want to be a part of it. How can I help you? Because I feel the vibe. I feel that you own it, right? That you're like, this is who I am. You're not afraid. You're like so excited about it. Your excitement attracts everybody else around you. They are attached to your mission. And so it's not afraid of being who you are, right? And really expressing that. And again, not afraid of asking because we're giving someone the opportunity to feel good by helping. And yeah. then something else you talked about too is like, is, you know, this fuck it all moment, right? And I think it's so much about like really getting clear on what it is that you want and not what does society want from me or what is, you know, what does my family want from me? And I think when we have a dream, like, great, the first step is trusting it. But then the next question is really to ask yourself, is this really mine? Is this what I really want? Right? Yeah. Or is this somebody else's dream for me? And allowing yourself, right, to give yourself permission to say, no, actually, that's not what I want. Or maybe this was my dream for 10 years or for childhood growing up. I thought I wanted this, but do I still want this? Is this still what I want? And it's okay to say, no, actually, I don't want this anymore. Right? And I want something else. And if change is the only constant in the universe, vibration, movement, right? Our cells are constantly in motion, right? The neurons, electrons are in motion on a micro level. On a macro level, the globe is spinning all the time, right, around its axis, and it's spinning around the sun. So movement and change is the natural state of the universe. So it's okay for us to change, right? We actually want change because if we stay the same, we're going to keep attracting the same results. And so when we have a dream, it's okay if it's not the same. In fact, it might look very different based on your experiences that you've had. And so it's giving yourself permission to say, no, I don't want this. And by setting a boundary, by saying no to the things that we don't want, we're making room for that yes, that more clear yes. And so it's like, especially as women, it's okay to say no and feel good about it. And you're actually teaching other people, you know? And like when someone has a boundary with me, whatever that is in business or life, it's like, wow, look at how that woman did that. You know what I mean? Yes. I'm never upset by it. I'm like, oh my God, I can do that too. Right?
Yeah.
And it feels yes. so good. So I think those are really important.
Those are such key points. We have a line we say, when you live boldly, you invite others to do the same. That is both on the big scale, like you said, you're dreaming and we all rise to the highest vibration, but it's also around boundaries. When you do that, I am so, and I think as I've continued to build my own muscle, my own practice around knowing my boundaries and setting them, I celebrate. Like when I hear no, especially from another woman in my life, I'm like, girl, you go, because you know what you want and you just showed me that I can do the same. Also the idea of redefinition of like what I wanted is not what I want now. And this might change over the course of years. It might change over the course of hours or days. And I used to, and I think this again goes to like a lot of macro narrative around what we hear of women is like, they're so wishy-washy. They don't even know what they want. And there's like, again, thinking back, like who does that serve? It serves like the more we can simplify and put people into singular buckets, that allows people to sell more to you. That allows people to like understand or like, you know, simplify for their own reasons, but that is not the essence. And like, think about, you know, that's the macro, but then think on these like very intimate relationships, the people I love most, you always hear this. The friend I love is the one that we cannot catch up for a year or months and we get back together and we're able to meet each other where we are. We're able to like celebrate that. Like those are the beautiful relationships that I think is so like across human nature that you hear celebrated versus those of like we grew apart and we couldn't find middle ground. And there's, you know, I think that just on like a very connective level. Jen, I'm curious for you because I know that you have your partner that, you know, and from a romantic perspective, and I've seen you talk openly about like manifesting life together. And something that I have experienced is that, so one, you know, I think that when women begin to go on this journey of inward to understand what they want, outward to then create it and owning it, I'm very fortunate that in my business, I have a business partner who's in lockstep going along with me. So it's not lonely, right? It's actually very exciting. It's very empowering to have somebody there because it can be scary to do this work initially.
Yeah.
I found that there was a part, you know, we're probably almost 2 years in of kind of this work for myself is that I hadn't created space to also dream with my partner. And so it was like, you know, I was evolving in this capacity. I was on my business, like a new way of being. And it really is a mindset that was being fostered. And then I would step back into these other roles as mom, as wife, as life partner. And I hadn't brought that there. And so it's something we're working on now as a partnership, as a couple, is like, how can we dream together? And how can I be excited about this new variation of our relationship that we're creating versus like focusing on like, oh my God, we had these issues because we, you know, I was in one place and you were in another and here's all the wrongdoings. And we just about 2 weeks ago made this commitment to each other and said, yes, some things have gone awry, but it brought us here. And now we are going to use our energy to dream and like, what is the relationship we want to create going forward? And that really, it was asking and it was also receiving, like allowing my partner to step into that role with me and relinquishing some control of like allowing his creativity and mine to come together. So I don't know if you have any thoughts there, because I think that sometimes this journey around, you know, I think going inward as a woman, it can feel like, how do you return to the roles and spaces that you've previously occupied and grow in those and invite others to grow with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. So much here, right? So I think, again, like as we evolve, we can affect other people around us because they're feeling that energy. They see it. They want some of what you're having, right?
Yeah.
And so even our partners, like we can inspire them. I mean, when I first got together with my partner, Amayo, like he inspired me greatly. He was a Kung Fu Sifu. He already was a, you know, lead singer of a band that was well known, you know, traveled around the world. And I was really inspired by his daily practice and like waking up and practicing Kung Fu and practicing piano for 2 hours. And I was like, wow, this guy, you know, is like, he's really committed. And meanwhile, like now, like fast forward, you know, we've got two kids and he was nominated for his first Grammy last year. And when he was interviewed for, you know, the Recording Academy on Grammy.com, he was like, it's all because of my wife, you know, and like, if it wasn't for her. And I was like, wow, like how amazing that we can do that for each other, because he, you know, has heard me coach people and speak and, you know, and talking about manifestation and how it works. And being that believing eyes for our partner, like, cause you know, any industry, there's people who are like, that's crazy. Like even going for the Grammy, like submitting your album to the Recording Academy, people were like, nah, you know, we don't need to do that. And we're like, yes, we're doing it. You know? So it's like, even when other people are losing faith, like having that, you know, for yourself and having that for you and your partner, for example. Now, the other thing to say is in any relationship, whether it's romantic or business, we go through different experiences, right? Where we can become resentful. Like something happens and we're like, God, I can't stand that person, you know, or like this thing is so annoying. And it can take up all this mental space because we're so focused on the things that we don't like about it, on what's going wrong and what's not working. And we're like, and we're replaying that over and over.
It's like you were in our therapy session the past month. It's like you were there, Jen. Jesus.
But this is normal in any relationship. And so when that happens, the best thing you can do this by yourself, not with your partner, is journal about everything you do love and appreciate about them. Because then you're remembering all the things that are wonderful. It's not saying that other stuff isn't happening, right? Yeah. It's just switching our focus. So we're like, oh, right. Well, like I do love this about, you know, him, and like, you know, like he's a great dad, or he is, you know, makes the best, you know, eggs for breakfast or whatever, you know, and you're just like, oh, and he's, you know, an amazing lover or whatever is good, right? Yeah. And so you're amplifying all these things, even if it's not in relationship. It's like, ooh, but I love like how successful he is or how whatever, you know? And then you come back into like, oh, actually, like, look at how lucky I am that I'm with this person. Well, again, whether it's romantic or business, like, and it shifts your perspective. And so then that thing that was annoying, it doesn't become the big thing, right? It's just like a little thing that like, oh, I can handle that. Or even if that were never to change, am I okay with it? Yeah, actually, like that's really not a big deal because I have all this other awesome stuff. And so again, you don't have to do that. You don't have to share it with your partner. Right. You can if you want, but it's just for you. It's just for you to feel better and shift the way things are going. And it really does help everything. So, and then dreaming together, like it's so wonderful when you have a partner who wants to do that, right? Because you're sharing your excitement about what you're creating. And I call it being believing eyes for each other. Again, it's that mirror and reflection. It's like, imagine, you know, if you, you know, I shared my story about how I got my book, right? I was on the phone with my coach at the time. And I said, I think I have a book within me. And like any good coach, she said, awesome, Jen, I can help you. She didn't say, that's a stupid idea, Jen. You know, like you could never do that.
Or even something more nuanced. You know, like, wow, that's going to be really hard. Like that, you know, it doesn't even have to be dissenting, but it's like she didn't place a doubt.
Right. Exactly. Some people are well-meaning, but they are like projecting their own stuff from their own experiences.
Yes.
And so, right. Even that small little thing of like, oh, that's nice, Jen. Well, let's talk about that later or whatever, you know, she didn't say that. She was like, yes. Right. And so there was no doubt in my mind. It was like, okay, I could do this because she believes that I can do it. Right. And so she like amplified my own faith in myself, but I hadn't taken action on it yet. And I literally got an email a week later from a publishing company asking me to write my book. And they were like, we love your voice on your blog. We'd love for you to write something like Manifesting Made Easy. And I was like, is this for real? Like, this is too crazy of a coincidence.
Right.
They're probably asking me to pay them, you know.
Right. We've all had that. Yep.
Right. So I was like, okay, I Google them. It's a legitimate publishing company. My dream publishing company is Simon & Schuster. This is some small publishing house I'd never heard of, but I liked their title. So I agree to get on the phone with them. They offer me a paid book deal to write my book. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to my one friend at the time who was an author, a fiction writer. And I was like, can you put me in touch with some literary agents to help me negotiate my book deal? Because I don't know what I'm doing. So she emails like five different people. They all say no. They're not interested in my little book about manifesting. But she emails one more person, a woman, by the way, who had just given birth. Mm. And she is like, yes, totally. I'll be your literary agent. She helps me negotiate my book deal. So I get paid to write my book. As I'm writing my book, my small publishing house gets bought by Simon & Schuster. So now I'm a Simon & Schuster published author, my dream publisher. And it happened in a way different way, way easier way than right. most people make it out to be. Like, oh, yep. it has to be hard. I have to write this whole long book proposal and do this research and da-da-da. Yep. And it all came together because I had that faith and because someone was believing eyes in me. And I'm not saying we all just sit around and manifest and don't take action. 100% there's action, right? Yep. But this is just a prime, extreme example of yep. when you have those believing eyes that, you know, things can come, right? Because yep. you continue to amplify each other's dreams and saying, yes, it is happening. Yes, it's possible. We are doing this. We're excited. Versus, no, that's crazy. We can't do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. I'm planting the seed for you, Jen. Couples workshops, believing eyes. This is the name of it. My husband and I are signing up. Magic business partners, like, you know, if yeah. you, if it's marinating in your brain and you needed some validation, consider this your believing eyes. okay. I want to give a little context into like why I am such a Jen Mazur evangelical, like what, whatever we want to say. Like I just want to give some context into how this conversation came to be, because I think it was, you know, it's one thing to be your, like, I'm going to trust and I'm going to be in this space and I'm going to be positive. But then like the hard days hit and you're like, I don't really know if I'm doing this right. And like, maybe I believe and I'm going to do a little gratitude journal, but I'm also going to freak out that like, how do we pay the credit card bill? You know, like, so it's those tensions. So early February, a good friend of mine who we usually share like podcasts or books that we're reading, inspirational things. She'd taken a hiatus. She'd gone through some stuff last year and just had kind of like logged off social, logged off everything. She sends me a note early February and she's like, hey, just dug back into some podcast. And I heard this podcast. Jen Mazur was on, I believe it's the world's first podcast with Aaron and Sarah. I think you should listen to it. It was really like cool today. So I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks. Go about my lit day. I don't commute as much as I used to, as many of us do in a post-pandemic world or current pandemic world, depending where you fall in that spectrum. But I had a meeting that was a little bit further away. And so one day I'm like, I was feeling a little down, new year. I'm like, what are we going to do with the business? And I decide, I'm like, oh, I have this podcast. Let me like give it a listen. Cause I remember the title was like, I think it was like Manifesting Made Easy with Jen Mazur. Like it was very, you know, it said what it was. So I'm driving to this meeting, I'm listening to this podcast and I'm like, girl, you have been holding on to these like very low vibration things, like release them. And like, you are excited, like be that. And so I send it immediately to my business partner and a woman on our team. And I'm like, hey, this just like shifted something in me. Like I felt like a tectonic shift in like, this is possible. I am doing this. And like, the more doubt, just like you said, like you go to a meeting, a party or any sort of thing and you're doubting it, it's like then other people are doubting it. But if I believe it, others will believe it. So it was just this shift for me. So I send it to them. I'm like, you guys need to listen to this. So I get like, call it 70% of the way done with the podcast. And then this is on like a Monday or Tuesday. They listen to it. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like I feel really inspired. So I'm like, okay, let's just all marinate on this. Feel like we needed this shift. Then that Friday, I'm going to pick up dinner. My husband's out of town. I'm going to go pick up dinner. And I'm like, oh, let me finish this podcast up. And you mentioned that you had manifested your love, that he was this Grammy award-winning musician. Like you had talked about this. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I know who her husband is. Because I assume you're in New York, LA. I assume you're like a big celebrity we're never going to reach. You know, like but I'm like, she's so cool. So I Google like Jen Mazur husband, because I'm like, let's, you know, whatever. Curiosity killed the cat. So the first thing that comes up is your LinkedIn profile, which I don't imagine, you know, would be the normal thing. Like you have so much press, you have your website, and I'm like, cool, let me see. And I click on it and it says that you are based in the greater Atlanta area. I'm based in Atlanta. And I'm like, get the fuck out. I'm like, no world. Like this has to be a mistake. And then, so I message my business partner. I'm like, Jen Mazur is in Atlanta. She's like, get out. Like, okay, cool, whatever. That's insane. I'm like, we should definitely reach out. And then I log on social media, talk about just like you were present in my in my ether. I log on social media on Sunday and you and your family had been at the High Museum. My business partner had just gone to go see the Obama portraits. I'm like, okay, universe, I hear you. Like, I get it. So I take the shot. I message a lot of people, like, you know, as anybody does that has a business where you're featuring guests. I message you on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I'm like, hey, like, I really, you know, have loved this podcast. Like, this is what we're doing. And wouldn't you know, you respond back and you're like, cool, it sounds really fun. Like, I'd love to learn more. We then hop on a pre-call, which you then let me know when we're on the pre-call before the podcast. You're like, hey, I don't normally like do these kind of things. Like, I normally just get on. I can tell that you're like setting like really healthy boundaries with your time. Like, I'm trying to be mindful. And by the end of the call, you and I are like blowing air kisses and you're like, you have to come work with us on our manifest. And I'm like, I took up the space that I was meant to take up. I believed, like you said, like you were like, you're doing the things that you're dreaming of. And it was just this, it was this microcosm of so many little things that we've talked about here. I'd shared it with my husband. I was so excited. My business partner's excited. I've sent it to every woman entrepreneur I know. And I'm like, y'all, Jen Mazur. And they're like, oh my God, she's coming on the show. So like, it was almost the how of this coming to be. That is what secured us to want to then work with you in this bigger capacity. And talk about rising to the occasion or rising to the energy. You share with us what it costs to work with you in a monthly capacity, that you take the 6-month commitment. And it's a big investment, like especially early days of a business. And my business partner and I both looked at each other and said, like, this is the best investment we can make. And also, let's go fucking charge people for the things we want to do, because Jen believes she can do it. And we didn't bat an eye. We said, like, this is a big commitment, but we take it seriously. But you also attracted the right people that would be glad to pay that, because I'm like, you know what? When it's a big investment, I show up and I take it seriously. And it was just this, like, all of these things. And so, like, you know, I assume that you have so many stories like this, but I just share, like, this podcast today started because, you know, we are in middle of May. This came from a random text message that a friend sent me in early February, 3 or 4 months ago, that had no weight beyond just her sharing a cool piece of content. And then we're working together in this like really magical capacity.
I love it. Yay.
I know. That was a little bit of a long story, but I feel like it was very worthwhile, because just like, it was all just that one positive next step that brought us to this moment on both sides.
Yeah. And you know, when you can trace things back, like with that gratitude, it's so magical. Again, you realize that there are no mistakes in the universe.
None.
And that everything is leading you to the next moment and the next moment and this moment that you're in right now, and how grateful that you're here listening to this podcast, right? And I love this exercise. I was on a panel once for a Fast Company and festival or whatever. And I remember sharing this exercise. I think it's from Deepak Chopra originally. Mm-hmm. But when you really can trace back something significant in your life to these series of synchronistic moments. So you're talking about the podcast and how it came to be. And I think about manifesting my love, my soulmate, Amayo. And I can trace it back to all these, like, for the farthest back I can go like way back. So he and I met through a mutual friend, Michael Franci, a musician, who was in town in New York, who had just done a film at the time. He made a documentary about peace in the Middle East. And he was like performing at a yoga studio and screening the film. And so Amayo and I go, because we both know Michael, to the film screening. And we met afterwards. Like, and I was like, oh, hey, aren't you the lead singer of Antibalas? And he was like, yeah. And I was doing that because I was networking. I wasn't thinking anything about a relationship. I was like, well, I'm going to be at this festival in a couple of weeks, and I'd love to film your band, you know, like in Florida. And I was like working on this art thing. And so I gave him my business card. Like, and I, you know, and that's what ignited it. But if I trace back even how I met Michael, right? Michael Franci, like we met at a fancy vegan restaurant in New York City called Candle 79. And it was a book signing event that I was at. And we connected there. And how did I get connected with Candle 79? You know, and then I'm thinking about like, well, when I was in college, I waited tables there, right? And then I became friends with the owners, right? And then I did their website. How did I get into like website design? was through the building that I lived in rent free, you know, because they asked me to move into the building. I had to create a website for their theater. I never made a website before. So I taught myself web design and moved into the theater, you know? So like I can go back and back and back. And then I'm like grateful that I met that woman outside sweeping one day who told me that she lived in that building and I wanted to live there, you know? And it was like just all the synchronicities in my life. And I can think about, wow, like how amazing. And now it's led to like my beautiful family and our two kids and who are both born the same exact day, 9 years
No way.
Apart. Yes, the same day, both home births, 9 years apart. And it's like, again, the magic and synchronicity of that, right? And that my daughter, like we loved her. We were so happy to have her and she wanted a sibling. And then like, I'm like, you manifested this. Like he was born on your birthday, you know, like your birthday. God, present.
I love this.
You know? So it's like, it extends outwardly. Right. And if you can keep that like for your kids too, right. Cause they all have their stories and what their kid, you know, whatever, all the stuff that they have to experience through school. And, you know, but if we as parents can cultivate that possibility in them as well and say, yeah, like, cool, you want to do this? Like, all right, you know, that's, you can do that. Like, that's possible. Even if I don't know how, or I'm like, well, not right now, honey, you know, maybe we're not going to like, you know, especially when they're little and they have these crazy ideas of like pirate ships or whatever, but you're like, yeah, maybe we could like.
We'll figure it out in some variation. Literally, you know? Every day, my daughter asks for everything in our life, but for it to be purple and for her to have it for her happy birthday. So she would like purple bugs. She would like a purple truck. She asked for a purple bulldozer yesterday. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but like guarantee there's going to be some purple weird shit at this party in a couple months.
I love it. Right. Yes. And that's when like you see a purple flower or a butterfly and you're like, look, honey, you know, like you manifested this purple thing. And also, again, it's like going back to that idea of we're not imagining, but we're intuiting. And our little ones are so intuitive too.
We
so
are,
it's like,
God.
We're seeing things for a reason, even if it's not, you know, the purple whatever, you know, or the pirate ship or whatever, but it's because maybe there is something like that, right? Or that's going to have the same feeling. And so we are seeing what we know. So even psychics, when, you know, if you've ever had an experience with like a psychic medium, they're seeing like visuals maybe from your loved one who's passed, as crazy as it sounds, but it's because of what the psychic, that person, the channel understands how to interpret. Yep. It's not necessarily, you know, it's like, I'm seeing a red, you know, box or whatever, you know, and it's like, right. And it's because that, what did that red box mean to that person versus, and I can, so again, like we're being shown, we're receiving messages all the time, that energy, that Wi-Fi, the universe that's talking to us, you know, if we can just open up and tune in. And so whether it works out that way or not, like it's trusting the vision and taking action based on what we're being shown and continuing to take action from that place, which is going to lead us to the next place and the next place and the next place that we're meant to be. And it might not be exactly what we thought. Like I didn't think I was going to end up in Atlanta. Right. Like we looked at houses in LA. We were like, okay, we're going to move from New York to LA. We toured all these homes and we were like, we're not really feeling LA, you know, actually. Yep. And then, you know, we had all these family members in Atlanta and the pandemic happened. I'm pregnant again. And we're in our like small New York apartment, you know, like staying home. We love each other. We had the best time. We obviously like had another baby, but we're like,
you had a really good time.
We had a really great time. And yet we were like, it would be nice to like be outside on our property in a pool. And, you know, like, so we manifested like our house with our pool and our organic garden and like neighbors who are best friends with our daughter. Like they go back and forth, you know, like just amazing. Right. And so it's like, okay, we were meant to be here. Right. Mm-hmm. And there was a reason, even when something doesn't work out, we made offers on two other houses. Yeah. We didn't get them. Yeah. And it's instead of being like, well, fuck, you know, maybe we're not going to have our house. It's like, well, maybe that wasn't the house for us. There's a reason why, you know, like, or okay, it's getting into a bidding war. Like, do I really love this house? Like, is this again, like, do I want to keep going? Like, actually, maybe this is like an opportunity. Like, I don't think this is the house for us. And then this house came on the market. We managed to get in before like they had the open house. I'm like, let us see it today, you know? And I made the offer right away. I'm like, what do you need so that you don't show it to anybody else? You know?
Yeah.
And boom, got the house. So again, like when, you know, when you don't get what you want, it's okay, right? It's like there's something better. And it's not being afraid of that rejection, because you know that when you imagine, you're intuiting. So there's it's going to happen. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, that manifesting happens from a feeling place. So we are seeing specifics in order to allow us to feel into what it would feel like. Right? So we tore a home to be like, oh yeah, I can feel like the spaciousness or the abundance or whatever, you know, that neighborhood. But then it might not be that home, but you'll still feel the spaciousness, the abundance or whatever of being there. And so the step really is, the first step is getting clear on what you want, asking yourself, is this what I really want? Right? Is this what society is telling me? Is this what I want right now? Or is this something from my past? Okay, then if it is what I really want, awesome, right? Now, how will I feel when I have that thing that I want? Okay, well, I'll feel happy. I'll feel secure. You know, I'll feel abundant, whatever. And then it's, how can I feel that way now? What is something I can do to allow myself to feel happy, secure, and abundant? I might not have that ultimate goal, right, of the house, for example.
Right.
But there are things that I can do right now to allow me to feel the way I want to feel. And because I am doing that, I'm shifting my vibration. And now I'm attracting more things to me that are a match to that vibration. And that's really how it works. And even like acting as if, which is talked about, you know, a lot, like people think like fake it till you make it. And they feel like, well, I'm just a fraud. It's not really that. It really goes back to this whole principle of manifestation. It's like embodying who you want to be now, because all of manifesting happens in the present tense. If I keep putting my dream off into the future and I say, when everything is perfect, when I have the extra free time, when my kids are out of the house, when I have money and support or whatever, then I'm going to do this thing. It's always going to stay off into the future, right? We have that friend we haven't talked to in years, and we're like, how's that project going that you told me about? And they're like, oh, I haven't started, right? And it's because we didn't treat it in the present. So if I actually say, okay, I'm going to do it now, then all of a sudden it starts actually happening, because you're doing it, because you're actually like putting action there. You're believing, and you know, oh my God, we're really doing this thing that like, oh, it's so crazy. It's really happening. I mean, I'm manifesting again, like something now with my husband. And it's really exciting. And it's like this new project that we were like just talking about. And then all of a sudden we share it with someone, you know, and that person connects us to someone else. And it's like so synchronistic. And then we're like in all these meetings and we're like, oh my God, like it's happening.
Yep.
And that's how it works. That's why I have so many clients with amazing stories of things that they manifested, because it's happening in the present tense. It's like giving yourself permission. It really can happen. And there's something you can do right now. One action step. It doesn't have to be huge. Yeah. Again, it doesn't have to be hard. It can be easy, just uncomfortable. And it's reframing that discomfort as a good thing. It means, wow, I'm about to experience something new. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. I always want to be experiencing that. So I'm coming full circle, you know, in the conversation.
Completely, completely. This idea that you said it in one of the other podcasts that I listened to, and I would love to leave this idea of rejection is not just redirection. You said it was divine protection. And that was something that has sat with me. I heard you say that. And this idea that like you're being taken care of, I found to be so comforting and just reassuring of that trust.
Yeah. I mean, there's a story I share often. It's not mine. It's one of my friends. But she had a near-death experience. So clinically died in the ER and came back, right? Which many people, it happens, right? So she explained what happened, her experience when she had clinically died and came back to life. And she said, obviously, like if you're in the hospital and they're like trying to resuscitate you, it's like freak out in the room, right? Yep. Everyone is like, she could see her body. She felt fine. She felt totally fine. She didn't feel anything. She just saw it all happening. Yep. And she saw the freak out chaos. And she said she saw at one point the nurse dropped this medical instrument on the floor. And the doctor, the ER doctor, is like freaking out at the nurse. And she bent down to pick it up. And because she bent down to pick it up, the doctor could see the screen, the whatever like monitor that she had been blocking. And because he saw that screen, he saw something that saved her life. And she said, I saw it like a rainbow of energy flowing from like the medical instrument, you know, picking it up to the doctor, to the screen. And then I'm like back in my body. And she was like, it was so amazing. And it really showed me, again, there are no mistakes in the universe. You can't mess up what's meant for you. And that like everything is okay. And obviously just from a spiritual perspective of like, you know, that when, if we're not afraid of death and we know that like ultimately we're fine, then it's like, what can I do if I'm not afraid, right? Like yeah. I could do anything because I know I'm always okay. Mm. I'm always all right. And also, again, yeah, like everything is fine. And this permission, you know, to live life fully, right? And know that like this is a really fun experience we have again. And your fuck it all thing is like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, yeah. What do I want? What's going to feel good for me? Obviously, that's still doing good for the world, right? And, right. you know, amplifying and that vibration can be felt. And other people then want to join us and look at all, you know, the spiraling effect that that can have is so amazing. So
I love it. Can we round out with a couple rapid fire?
Sure.
Okay. How do you define having it all?
Having it all, I think, is giving yourself permission to say, what if, right? So whenever something feels outrageous, it's like, well, what if I could have that too? What if, versus saying I can't. So it's like changing the I can't to how can I, and also what if. That's having it all, like constantly allowing yourself to bring in more and not getting yourself into the set point and upper limiting, right? It's like, again, opening it up, like the flower blooming.
Yeah.
Yes, please. You know, thank you. Yes, I'm ready. More, you know?
Yes.
But being happy with what you have now too, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. You personally, when do you feel most in your power?
Honestly, doing things like this, when I'm talking about manifestation, I'm like, I'm in it. It feels like I'm channeling. I'm like getting the message out. I'm so excited to be talking about these truths and helping people have these aha moments and realizations that can spark whatever it is in their own lives. Yeah. Yes, that's it.
On the flip side, finish the sentence for me. When my power is shaken, I
get back into gratitude and, you know, come back to what is okay in the moment. Right. And I'm grateful also to have, you know, my chosen family and partner who will help me remind myself of the things that I teach. Right. We all can, you know, need that. And I think that's so awesome. So he'll be like, you know, what are you grateful for? You know, what's still good? Or let's like, what would you tell your
He's
client?
Like, Jen, go read your book, Manifesting Made Easy. I have a couple pages bookmarked. Okay, so best advice you've ever received?
Ooh, best advice I've ever received. Oh, God. Really, it's following your heart. I've been the same person for, you know, as far as I can remember. You know, when I was in high school, my yearbook quote was like, you know, let the beauty of what you love be what you do. You know, I mean, it's like, I totally am like that person. So it's really about like, yeah, doing what you love. And when we're in that place of love and joy, it changes your vibration and you attract more things to you. So yeah.
And then finally, younger Jen. I know you said you've been this way for as long as you can remember, but to younger Jen, what would you tell her?
It's okay to be different and unique, you know, and it's okay to, because that's, you know, it's funny because I'm telling that to my daughter now, right? Who's 10. And, you know, we moved from New York City to Atlanta. And so, and she has this amazing worldview, having traveled all over the world and, you know, parents is a musician and, you know, doing what I do. And she's, and in a way, like part of, she's like shrinking, you know, a little bit to fit in. And I'm like, no, let's, you know, like keep all these amazing special things about yourself. And, you know, so sharing stories about me and, you know, from when I was younger, being different, or, you know, being an artist, or whatever, like being one of the three like Jewish people at my school, you know, or whatever, like not shaving my armpits for a year, and like, and, you know, like being okay with that or whatever in high school, you know? So it's like, I think, it's so, we try to fit in, right, to society, and because it makes us feel safe, and, you know, and knowing that, you know, you are safe, and actually you're going to inspire other people when you shine your bright light brightly. And, you know, be you. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that. Jen, thank you for today's conversation. This was so beautiful. I feel like we went to the depths of, you know, soul, but also stayed in the very practical. And I think that's the beauty of these kinds of conversations, is that you ride those waves of going deep, but then also coming to the present, coming to the tangible. And how are we, as women, especially, creating the world that we want to live in, and that we want for you and me, at least, our kids to be living in. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Fuck It All podcast. I am so grateful you all took the time today to listen to the end of this episode to join us with Jen Mazur, the one, the only queen of manifestation. You can get Jen's book, Manifesting Made Easy, in the show notes, available wherever you get your books. Also, if you haven't already, I already told you at the top of the episode, go check out our new course, Getting It All for Ambitious Women. It is comprised of every bit of research we have done on this show and in our lives about how to navigate fuck it all moments, how to get the life you want, and how to foster a community around you while you're doing it. Right now, using the code FIA, you can get $200 off. So, listen to Jen. Remember, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you're hearing this today, that course, maybe it might be for you. Okay. itallmedia.co/maven. Sign up. Give us an email if you have some questions, because we want more women out here walking in their power, standing in their power, so that we can invite others to do the same. We love you. It's an It All Media production. You can always get more at itallmedia.co/join. And we'll see you on the other side.